Let's go. Welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show Tuesday edition. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, baseball writer for auburndaily.com. Also the host of Locked On MLB Prospects. That actually will matter today. That is Zach Blackerby, founder, editor-in-chief, auburndaily.com. Also the host of Locked On Auburn. That always matters on this show.
Sure.
But the reason why, the thing I'm excited about today, Zach, is I want to finally have the conversation. I've made jokes about this. I've referenced it in the past. The top five one-and-done athletes in Auburn sports history.
Yeah, I put a question out there in the middle of the College World Series run that we saw last year about, like, where does – if Sonny does leave, which he ultimately did, he ultimately got drafted and chose to go play professional ball, which can't blame him at all. But posing the hypothetical, like, is he a top five one-and-done player of all time? And then as kind of a group – of Auburn people on the internet, we quickly realized, like, the list isn't super long, surprisingly, Lindsey.
Yeah, and it's something where, like, I don't think we've really ever had to stop and make a list. And if you do, like, the immediate response, because people didn't read your tweet right, the immediate response, people were like, hey, Cam Newton. Cam Newton is number one. There is no debate. There is no argument whatsoever. Cam Newton is probably... Sure. The greatest quarterback in college football history as far as a single season. Mm-hmm. What he did at Auburn in 2010, obviously won the Heisman Trophy, carried that team to a national championship. That was a team that I think only had one or two guys make the NFL.
Remarkable.
Yeah, like
remarkable. And people literally compare it to Joe Burrow and Johnny Manziel and things like that. But, like, Johnny had Mike Evans. Cam had no one. Adams, who wasn't an NFL option. And then Joe Burrow, like, that whole team was like future NFL guys. So
they're all pros right now. Yeah, Cam literally put that team on his back, though. Put that team on his back.
That's right. So Cam's number one.
Cam's number one. I'm just going to, just because just people need it. Here's his stats. 185 completions on 280 attempts. So 66% passer. 2,854 yards and 30 touchdowns, 27 interceptions. And that's not even the most impressive part of his line. He also had what would be a very impressive year for a running back. 264 carries for 1,473 yards and 20 touchdowns and two catches for 42 yards and a touchdown. Greatest single season in Auburn sports history, bar none, end of discussion. Let's move to number two.
Yep. So obviously that is that's number one on one and done. I think number two is Jabari Smith, just because we're going to talk about other folks that have this, but he was the leader and the focal point of a championship team, much like Cam Newton. Obviously, Cam won the SEC and a national championship, Jabari winning the SEC championship in a way that Auburn fans haven't really seen before. And it stinks the postseason went the way it did, but Jabari, I mean, he was in talks to be the number one pick in the NBA draft, which is something that Auburn fans never thought they would really be a part of. So that's exciting. But I just think the elevation of the basketball program, and I know some people are very upset with how this current season has gone, Lindsey, but Jabari's face will be around Auburn Arena for forever because he did what he did, and he was drafted as high as that he was. And, the Rockets obviously believe in his long-term success. So I've got Jabari at two. I do think there's some conversations you can have about putting other guys higher than him, but I think Jabari is two just because that championship is attached to his resume.
Yeah, and to kind of give the stats real quick for him in college, 34 games, 16.9 points per game, 7.5 rebounds, 2 assists. He was a 43% shooter from the floor, 80% from the free throw line, 42% from three, which I just feel like is not something that Auburn's had before or since. That is fantastic numbers.
Yeah.
My number three, I think, in this list, and it's kind of this tracks given what I do for this website and everything, is Sonny DeShera. So Sonny DeShera is a 275 hitter at Samford, comes into Auburn, and has a year that results in him being co-SEC player of the year and arguably should have been the SEC player of the year. 61 games. Here's his slash line. 384, 549, 777. So 22 home runs, 37 extra base hits. He had 68 walks to 55 strikeouts. Drove in 59 runs. He led the entire country in walks per plate appearance. I can remember games when, like, so if there's one out in an inning and there's guys on second and third and you have a good hitter up, it's not going to be surprising to see them walk the guy so that you have a runner at every base. You now have the force play in play everywhere. Right. I saw games where the other team's holding on to a one run lead and there's runners on first and second and Sonny DeShera comes up, automatic walk. They would rather load the bases and have a base hit score two or three versus giving him a single pitch to hit. Just absolutely absurd. And it's not just Auburn didn't win a championship like they did with Jabari, but Auburn hosted a regional for the first time in quite a long time,
right.
Went to the Super Regionals, went to the College World Series, and won a game in Omaha for the first time in a while, and did it with a player that was just incredibly entertaining, incredibly fun. The fans embraced him. Everybody can still hear that walk-up song going. And it's just, you know, just Sonny. It was a great time. I am very thankful that that was my first year on the baseball beat, getting to cover a player like a Sonny DeShera.
And he was super gracious with his time. He came on and did several interviews with us. So big fans of Sonny.
Yes. We love our thick king here. He is now in AA Rocket City. So he is AA in the Los Angeles Angels,
which is where Auburn's playing tonight.
Coincidentally, Auburn will be in that ballpark tonight to face North Alabama. Not broadcast, but you can listen to it at AuburnTigers.com. And then obviously we'll have all your takeaways and everything on the Auburn Daily.
That's right.
Had to get the plug in there.
That's right.
I want to get to the last couple the last names, because we have some disagreement here and we need people, listeners, to make a tiebreaker here.
Yeah.
But first, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you can be exploited by hackers. NordVPN allows you to change your IP address, which makes you harder to track and securing your privacy. NordVPN has an app you can install on your computer. You can set up your router. A lot of routers can set up to automatically use NordVPN, and even a lot of smart TVs, not Rokus, but a lot of other smart TVs can automatically route your traffic through a NordVPN secure server so that it safeguards your personal information, makes it harder to track, makes it harder for people to get your personal information. So NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. Check out the link in the episode description today. Again, NordVPN, thank you for sponsoring the podcast, because they want you to be safe.
I think number four is a guy that a lot of people forget was a one and done. In fact, I did. I actually didn't realize this.
I did too.
Rudy Johnson, an incredible running back during his time at Auburn, and played during an era where one and dones weren't really a thing yet in college football. But he did the JUCO route, did 2 years at JUCO. So he was draft eligible after his junior year at Auburn, and ultimately obviously went to the draft. But Rudy Johnson, I think he's a top five one and done. Some folks may think he should be higher than four, Lindsey.
Probably. It was 2000. He was a fourth round pick by the Bengals, had a good career with the Bengals. I didn't realize this until I looked up his stats before we got on the air. He was the 10th place vote getter for the Heisman in the year 2000. Yeah.
How about that?
So here are his stats. 12 games in the SEC in the year 2000, 324 carries for 1,567 yards. So 4.8 a carry with 13 touchdowns. Added in 9 catches for 70 yards. So ended up 1,637 yards from scrimmage at 4.9 a touch and 13 touchdowns. I want to say he was second in the SEC that year in rushing touchdowns. He was first in carries, first in rushing yards, first in plays from scrimmage, first in yards from scrimmage, and he was like fifth in the SEC in total points scored in the year 2000. Like, we forget how good he was in that 1 year that he was on the Plains. And honestly, somebody we don't talk nearly enough about as far as great Auburn alumni in the NFL.
Yeah, and his name's kind of held in such high regard when he is brought up, it's not discussed as if he was only here for one season. So should he be higher than fourth? Let us know. Let us know, because I'd like to hear all of people's lists, especially on this last point, Lindsay, because here's where we kind of disagree on number five.
Yeah, we both have different opinions as to who this should be. For me, I went with Walker Kessler. So obviously he was the other part of the SEC award winning or SEC championship winning team last year.
Yeah.
And transferred in from UNC, where he was not used. He averaged under 9 minutes a game at UNC, averaged like 2 points per game at UNC, comes to Auburn. And it's just, it's nuts. He plays about 26 minutes per game. I believe he was SEC Defensive Player of the Year, and he was on the national first team. He averaged 4.6 blocks per game.
Stupid.
I mean, absolutely nuts. Averaged 13.5 rebounds per game. Actually, like, it's just, it's nuts. How, I mean, he shot 61% from the floor. He shot 71% from three. I'm sorry, from two. He was brought down by the 3-point nice. Percentage.
Right.
Yeah. But just, I mean, averaged only about 11.5 points per game, but defensively was such a massive impact on the roster and on the defense and what Auburn was ultimately able to do down low and was able to do on their run all the way into the postseason.
Yeah. And then my guy's basketball as well, Isaac Okoro. Lottery pick, was also one of those guys that helped raise the level of the Auburn basketball program. Of course, Walker Kessler's on that list too. I just, that season being cut short due to COVID, right when Auburn started getting its stride going, went 12-6 in conference play, but really finished that season strong. They were kind of peaking at the right time, much like the Final Four team did. There's a lot to be excited about going into that. And I think a lot of us are asking, you know, what could have been, how would that season have gone? Because everything was falling in line in favor of Isaac Okoro and the Auburn Tigers. And sadly, we never really got to see all of that come together. So I've got Isaac at five. Walker at five is a great option too. We'd love to hear your thoughts on all of that. But Lindsay, just kind of zooming out, big picture, looking at this whole conversation, you got to think now, one and dones and successful one and dones at Auburn and other SEC schools and all schools throughout college football. You got to think in 10 years, this list will grow just because of the nature of what the transfer portal is doing to the sport. So you got to think more grad transfers are going to come in. There's a lot of speculation about that with a potential quarterback coming later this offseason in May, if Hugh Freeze is able to kind of see that coming. But I wonder how many one-and-dones we will see moving forward. Maybe redshirt sophomores transfer over, and then they have one good season at Auburn, then they go pro. I can't wait to see exactly what that does as far as individual players' timelines and how much time they spend at certain schools moving forward.
Yeah. Now, I do also wonder if you have the ability to bring in a player in football that would have a one-and-done year good enough to be on this list. Granted,
true.
That's something where I feel like the talent distribution and how much, unless you are literally one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Cam Newton, I feel like it's incredibly hard for any one transfer to come in
single-handedly
have a big enough year.
What if Stidham would have left after 17? Would he be on this list?
I don't think so. Like, what did Auburn win under
Jarrett? They beat two number one teams. They won the SEC West.
Okay. Well, that's valid. I think that's another good conversation. If you, like, Who else should be an option in place of our respective number fives? Jarrett Stidham may be an option if he had left. You know, what if,
especially with NIL and what gymnastics is doing, like, what if SUNY only was here for a year? Because she's only going to be here for two. Like, what if she would have chosen, what if the Olympics fell at a different time when she's like, okay, you know, or whatever gymnast comes in? Because I think there are some Olympians that are committed to Auburn, is my understanding. So, like, you know, what I wouldn't be shocked to see a gymnast on this list within the next 5 years.
SUNY, I want to say Suni's had more perfect 10s in her season and a half now on the Plains than like Auburn had in program history before she got here.
I mean, she's doing it like every meet. It seems like she's getting a 10 on something. So
yeah, and so that's a very good conversation as well. Like, what sports could you see somebody come in and be dominant enough to make that list? Gymnastics, I think, is a good one. I think baseball, if you had some sort of amazing starting pitcher come in,
sure,
who, you know, was healthy, played all weekend, you know, had like no hitter or complete games, things like that. Kind of like another Casey Mize. If you had somebody come in and can give you a 1 year like that, I feel like the impact of somebody like that, a starting pitcher,
sure,
would be bigger than a random defender. Although Sonny DeShera obviously did that thanks to his prowess at the plate. Was a good defender too, by the way. Doesn't get enough credit for that.
Sure.
But I feel like basketball is the easiest one to say you could bring in a player for a one and done, because one, they can go pro at any time. They don't have to be here more than a certain number of years.
That's so right.
You could recruit an 18-year-old. They could come to campus, have a great freshman year, and leave. But also, it being the smallest active roster and the smallest number of players on the court at one time, it's just easier for one player to have a bigger impact than something like baseball, where you've got 33 guys, or totally, football, where you've got, you know, 130 and you're playing 22 starters in any given game. I just feel like that's kind of how the way it breaks down.
Yeah, depending on how, you know, Bruce Pearl reloads this roster, you know, Aiden Holloway's got a chance to be on this list. I think every Auburn fan's rooting for that to happen. So I think there's an opportunity for this to grow. And I think just the nature of NIL and the portal, I think that'll happen, especially with gymnastics. I think we'll get one when it's all said and done as well. So,
yeah.
Yes, like we said, please let us know in the comments who your top five Auburn one and dones are all time. I think it's a fun conversation to have as we gear up for spring, less than a week away.
Yeah. Zach, how can people follow you, find out more about what you're doing, give you some love?
Yeah, hey, everything's at Auburn Daily, auburndaily.com. You can find all up-to-the-minute stuff on football, basketball, and baseball. And if you want to follow me personally, I'm on socials at Z Blackerby.
I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. Again, most of my stuff is the baseball stuff. You can find that all at auburndaily.com. And then obviously tonight you've got Auburn baseball, UNA. We'll have all your,
right,
not televised. We'll have all your takeaways, things like that, on auburndaily.com. Until tomorrow's show, this has been the Auburn Daily Show.